right, all right. Who's excited to be at church this morning? If this is your first time, you're a guest, you're like, why are they so excited to be here? Because church should be the funnest place on the planet. It was never made to be a funeral. It was supposed to be a celebration because our God lives, as we sang previously. So when someone is still alive, we still celebrate. And so we're just glad that you came out. So if this is your first time, if you believe, don't believe, have been in church, out of church, or maybe de-church, meaning you went to church, someone hurt you, we know that everyone from different spectrums come here. We just want to say you're welcome here. You can belong before you believe. So thank you for coming out. Can we thank our guests for coming out today? Thanks for stepping out of your comfort zone, because sometimes it can be uncomfortable coming to church. My name is Sean Jensen. I am the lead pastor. That bright, bubbly girl that was right here was my wife, not the purple hair one, the other one. It was my wife, and she is, me and her, we love leading the church here together, and man, God has blessed us with amazing people, and so it's been awesome seeing what God has been doing. So December is here. Who's excited about the cold weather, the frigid? It's coming 60 today, but you better believe this week, that 30-degree temp, it is on its way. Who loves the cold weather? Some hot cocoa and a cuddle by the fire. I think I heard someone, Misty, go crazy when I said that. But I'm excited about it. Main reason is because my birthday is in December. My daughter's birthday is in December. Jesus' birthday is in December. I'm not trying to say there's a comparison there, but if you kind of think a coincidence, I don't think so. So, no, I'm not calling myself Jesus, but I just know that I'm closer to him than you. So, well, Sean, way to judge him before we even start about judging. Cool. Matthew 7. We're going to be in Matthew 7. We've been going through Sermon on the Mount since before summertime. And guess what, guys? We are in the final season. We've made it. So if you're new here, we've actually been going through this passage of Scripture in Matthew that Jesus was preaching on a mountaintop. We think he's the best preacher to ever preach. And this was the best sermon ever preached. And so we decide in the middle of this year to start going through it. And we have, and we've taken breaks in between to talk about other topics. But in December, we are now wrapping this up. We are in Matthew 7, and it has been challenging. It has been rewarding. It has been encouraging. And I believe our church is better because we have gone through Sermon on the Mount. I do believe that Jesus has taught us what it means to look like Christ. So we're going to jump right into Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. And I am very excited about preaching this message. I've been waiting for this one. This is pretty much the only reason why we started Sermon on the Mount, was to get to this message right here. Matthew 7, 1 through 6, Jesus is speaking to a bunch of Pharisees, remember, religious teachers, that's his audience, people inside the church, so people like pastors and priests, and there's a bunch of people who don't believe, just kind of listening in as well, but he's directing it towards church people, towards church leaders, while remembering that other people are listening too, and this is what he says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." All right, guys, that's all I had for this morning. You guys can go on out, be blessed. Because honestly, if we just did that, our church would be a whole lot different, and this world would be a whole lot different if we just took Jesus' words and said right here, wow, I could live that my whole life motto. Number 2, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite." This is a pretty forceful word that Jesus used here, meaning you are acting. You're putting on a mask, and you're being something you're not, which we can do so well. You can stay in church long enough, you'll become a good hypocrite too. I always hear students say, "I don't go to church. They're full of hypocrites." I'm like, we have room for one more if you want to join us. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm not going to really touch in verse 6 too much today just because I really want to talk into more. Verse 6 could go into a whole nother message, but verse 6 says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Lord, I pray right now that you would just bless this word. I pray as we learn about judging and everything that you've said about it, that, Lord, our hearts would be open to learn, that the truth would set us free. And I pray, Father God, that our church is going to be better because of this message. Holy Spirit, continue to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of this message is Only God Can Judge Me. Anyone ever heard that before? Only God can. I didn't want to come up with anything clever. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to go channel my inner Tupac and call it Only God Can Judge. Now, for your younger people, Tupac's kind of the one that made this phrase a really popular phrase. He wrote a song in the 90s. He's called Only God Can Judge Me. But I want to go into something real fast. I'm a big movie buff. I love movies, especially this time of year. And so if you hang out with me long enough, or me and my brother, you will get tired of us really fast, because we can have an hour conversation just having one-liners from movies. And people come in like, what are they talking about? And we're laughing, and my mom's like, it's probably from a movie. Like, she's like the one that's at the family gathering saying, oh, don't mind them, it's from a movie, because she doesn't understand either. And so we love one-liners, and so I'm going to give you guys a couple of one-liners, and this is the interactive part. I want you to help me by saying, I know exactly what this movie's from. So I'm going to give you a one-liner, and you are going to shout out. You can shout out. You don't have to raise your hand. This isn't biology class. You're going to shout out what you think it's from. The first one, we're going to start really easy. Wax on, wax off. All right, very good. If you were in the run-through today, you cheaters. Here's another one. Ready? I gotta channel this really. Are you not entertained? You were in the run-through. Here's another one. Hasta la vista, baby. Terminator. No one knows this one. You will never guess this one. May the force be with you. Who's ready for December 18th? What is it? There, one coming out. Here's one of my favorites. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off. Wow, you guys need to see some Dumb and Dumber. Here's the last one. Now I'm going to give away a mug to anyone who gets this one, because this is my favorite quote, all right? If you were in the run-through this morning, shush. This is it right here. Ready? Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Is it? I don't know. Maybe, but that's not the movie I'm thinking of. Oh, man. One more try. Anybody? Kung Fu Panda. Where are my Kung Fu Panda fans at? You're going to go home and watch it tonight, aren't you? You're going to be like, girl, turn on Kung Fu Panda. All three of them. We're going to watch all of them today. Maybe we'll give a mug to Noah Nett for saying Ferris Bueller. I'll have to double check that first before you're doing that. So the main reason why I'm talking about one-liners is if we could look through the scripture, if we're honest, the Bible has a lot of one-liners. And if we're honest, a lot of Christians who don't even read the word are really good at quoting those one-liners, right? Like, if I could just get these one-liners, I could act like I know what I'm talking about, right? I've been in a position where I've heard a one-liner from a TV commercial, and even though I haven't seen that movie, I can fit in with someone because I heard the one-liner from the movie. And they'll be like, oh, you've seen that too? I'm like, and it's like the no-yes shake, you know, like, I'm not lying. Don't judge me. Only God can judge me. And I look here and I realize that these one-liners, like, if we were looking through scripture, there's tons of them, but one of the top used one-liners in scripture is this scripture right here. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, this isn't just what Christians say. If you look throughout the spectrum, believers, unbelievers, agnostic, atheist, even different religions, this is one of the most used one-liners in our scripture that Jesus said. People all through every spectrum of life, even if they're like, I don't really believe in God, I don't think Jesus is a pure deity like he says he is, but he has some cool teachings, and so I follow who Jesus is, and this is what he says, only God can judge me. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. So before Tupac said it, Jesus was saying it, right? And I think so many times that even though we have these one-liners, we don't understand the context and we don't understand exactly what Jesus is saying. So my heart today, with God's grace, is to share with you about this word judging and how us as a church can be effective for the kingdom of God and stop turning people away from experiencing Christ, and also those who are outside the church who are understanding the phrase, only God can judge me, because even in the church, we still say this phrase, only God can judge me. So let's start it back up. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm literally going to go through this by verse. No points, just by verse. And the first thing Jesus says is pretty straightforward. He says, don't judge. Why? You will be judged. And the same measure you judge, it will be measured back to you. Judging is a reciprocal thing. It's going to be reciprocal no matter what. Have you ever, you know, been in the family? Maybe you were growing up with a sibling and you picked and you antagonized and you pushed and you kicked. And finally, at that moment, the younger sibling just got sick of it. In our case, at our home, the older sibling just got sick of it because our little one's the antagonizer and the pusher and the hitter. And they finally react and just, boom, clock them, right? Why? Because whatever you do to them, it's going to come to you. Actually, later on in Matthew 7, Jesus will say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He's kind of continuing this process by saying how you treat others is how you should want to be treated yourself. If we would just honestly, this isn't going to be a deep message, but if we were honest, if we just treated people how we wanted to be treated, wouldn't everything change? Let's just think about that for a second. When you leave and you have a moment of weakness, wouldn't you want to be treated with grace just like you would want to spend with someone else? But how come we have no patience with everybody else, but we want so much patience for ourselves? If we would just treat others, Jesus is saying, as you have been judged, the same measure will be judged to you. That word judge actually means to pass judgment on words and deeds. Now, I'm building something up here because I have to in order for you to understand where I'm going, because it's going to get really heavy. Some of you are going to be very, like, maybe offended. Some of you will be like, I don't know if the word says that. Some of you are going to look at it and be like, Sean, I think you're missing it. And I hope by Scripture I can show you that Scripture doesn't lie. And so I'm not going to just give you my opinions. I'm going to try to bring freedom. Why? Because the truth will set you free. And God's word is the truth. So the other day, my daughter, who's going to be 4 on Christmas Eve, she is amazing. She's so much fun. She's an encourager. She notices people. She looks at people. She has so many strengths about her. And right now, she just got her ears pierced like a month ago. She woke up at 3 years old and said, you know, before 4, she goes, Daddy, I want my ears pierced. I was like, whoa. I thought this was going to be like an 8-year-old, like 9-year-old type thing, but she was like, I want them now before my party. And guys, I'm telling you, as soon as we got her ears pierced, it's like she's a teenage girl now. Like, I was like, what did you do to my daughter? Like, I went back with the receipt, like, change this. And so she's been kind of getting a little fussy, more attitude. I'm like, this is what I have to look forward to because I have another daughter as well. We got a boy dog just for my sake, just so I can have some sanity. And she would come back and she would just raise her voice. And so I'd be in the other room and I hear my wife talking to her and she would begin to get aggravated. And her tone, like, right, here's like the right, like this is the threshold. Your tone can be under here, but as soon as it gets over here, Daddy's going to come into the room and he's going to give you that eye, you know, that eye, and be like, what are you doing right now? And so she'll begin to raise her voice. I don't know where she got it from. I don't know. But she begins to raise her voice. And as she's raising her voice, I begin to listen. And as soon as that line gets, right, that's the measure. That's the standard. As soon as she comes above it, I come in. I'm like, Avery? And she looks, yes, sir. Because we're like, my wife's from the South, so we do yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And she goes, yes, sir. I'm like, do not talk to your mom like that. Because I got to come in, right? I got to come in and say, do not talk to your mom like that. So I've been doing that with her a lot, trying to teach, like, this is our standard. We don't raise our voice. We can have discussions with a lower voice. Well, a few days later, me and my wife were in a moment of heated discussion. A heated time of fellowship, that's what we call it. Probably talking about how to make cookies and how not to make them, because that's what it is. That's the best way. What's not the best way? And I begin to talk to her. Avery is sitting eating her breakfast at the table, and we're in the kitchen, and we're having our moment, and I'm kind of raising my voice, and it's going and going. And in the background, I hear this little kid going, Daddy! 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 And I'm just like ignoring, because she's like at this age where she wants attention all the time, and I'm like, she just wants attention every time we talk. She's like, Daddy! 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 I'm like, hold on. Yes, Avery. She's like, do not talk to your mom like that. Okay. I'm like, first off, she's not my mom, she's my wife. But what happened? The same measure was measured back to me. And we wonder why the world is so at the church's throat. We started it. Oh, it got real, real fast. Let me say it again. Why is everyone using the Christians as a boxing bag? Why are they coming after us? Because we've spent so much time judging them, and the same measure we measure them, they're going to look at the church and say, well, we're going to hold you accountable too. And we throw fits all over social media. We throw fits. Like, did you see what they said about us? It's because we have spent so long as the body of Christ judging them based on the standard. Now they're using the same measure on us. I'm here to tell some people maybe the reason why people are judging you is because you spent your life judging them. Instead of always accusing, now there's people who just judge and judge and judge and judge. Now, but maybe we should take an account of our own life and say, why is so much judgment on my life? Because if you've given that measure, it will be given back to you. Sometimes we need to look inside before we look outside. And Jesus is trying to show the Pharisees, saying, listen, the reason why everyone's pushing against you, the reason why people could care less what you say and they're looking at your actions, the reason why they turn the eyes the other way and they have nothing to say is because you have judged them based on a standard that you're not even living in. And when it comes after you, you act confused. And so Jesus is trying to warn us. He's trying to help us. He's saying, so I'm telling you, the same measure you judge, it will be measured to you. That's why when you have that argument with your wife for what she did, the next day she's going to find the same thing of what you're doing, like you left the clothes out last week, right? It becomes a blame game. Why? Because the same measure will be measured back to you. Jesus is a genius. He knew it was going to work like that. And so in order for us to continue on with this, we have to realize that maybe the reason why the church is so not on edge and the reason why people judge them so much is because we have spent all of our breath judging this world. And now it's just coming back at us. So we got to take responsibility. We got to look inward and say, what can we do as a church to be better? Because we're not here to judge, right? We're here to love. And then Jesus continues on. This is where it gets really good. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and paid no attention to the plank in your own eye? You should laugh, because could you imagine Jesus at this moment? This was hyperbole. He was obviously, he's like, you don't need to take this literally, but this is funny. Like, Jesus was a carpenter, so he worked with wood. He built things with wood. And so this is actually humorous. Jesus is funny. Some people like think Jesus walked around like this the whole time. He had children running to his lap. He was a fun dude. People loved Jesus. They were like, I want to hang out with him. The kids would, you know, the kids that stay away from that guy because he's creepy and old and he's mean? That's not Jesus. Jesus had people running to him, and he's like, hey, let me show you something. You're so worried about that person's speck. This is you. I can imagine walking around like, see, isn't this funny? Hey, Peter, look at this. Did you see him? He's like looking around like, look at this thing. He's just walking around like, this is you. And people are probably laughing like, look at Jesus. He's got a plank sticking out of his eye. But he said, we're so worried about a speck in our own eye besides the plank in our own. Let's continue on. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out. And then, this is very important, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Here's where we're going to unpack this a little bit. Jesus, we look at the scripture and we say, don't judge, for it'll be judged back to you. And then we say, take care of the own plank. We've heard this. Take your own plank out of your eye. You have your own stuff to mess with, which is true. But Jesus didn't stop there. See, that's where we stop. Just worry about the plank in your own eye, which we should. But if you actually continue to read, Jesus said, first, take the plank out of your eye. Then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, this term brother and sister, he's considering using people who are in the church, people who are considered to be believing the same thing you are believing. So let me bring this phrase back to you today. Only God can judge me. It's half true. Got really quiet. There's actually a moment in time where actually people can judge others. Sean, scripture now, or I'm leaving, right? Come on. I'd be the same way. I'd leave. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, listen, there are times that you got planks in your own eye and there's specks in others' eyes, but I want to let you know, first take care of your own business so that you can see clearly about other people's business. Your distorted view is preventing you from that. So what I want to convey right now in this moment, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. I know I'm doing a lot of teaching. That's why I want to build this up. I believe it's something that's going to bring freedom as we move through this. But Paul had this moment in 1 Corinthians. He was writing the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was the church gone wild. They were crazy. Crazy guys. They were doing all these things wrong, and they would write to Paul, who wrote half the New Testament. They would write to him and say, what do we do about this? Well, how do we worship? How do we handle this situation? How do we do this? How do we do that? Like, I call, like, pastors saying, what do I do about this situation? People were writing letters to Paul, and Paul wrote to 1 Corinthians. That's the letters he is now responding back to them from these questions. Now, before we read this, I have to let you understand this. Jesus, yes, says do not judge, but there are also times to judge. There's times not to judge and there's times to judge. And I'm going to help unpack that today. And then when we unpack that, I'm going to explain why Jesus said these words. This is what it said in 1 Corinthians 5. This is Paul addressing a problem in the church of Corinth. This is crazy. He says, I can hardly believe that a report about the sexual immorality going on among you, this is in the church, something that even pagans don't do. Let's stop. He's addressing the church. Remember, he's not addressing people outside the church, people who say, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. So if you're in that circle today, that's who he's addressing. He's not even talking to the people doing their own thing outside. You got to remember that. He says something that even the pagans don't do, which he's saying the church life has this morality thing. Even people outside the church kind of have this morality thing. It's a little bit different than the church. But the pagans looked at this thing that's happening in the church and said, oh my gosh, that is shocking. Paul is saying, even those outside the church looking and say, that is not right. I don't want to know what's going on in our church, but sometimes I know that we're a bunch of people who are learning to find like life in Christ, but he's saying, this got so bad that now I'm addressing it. And he says, even the people outside our church are saying, oh my gosh. And you guys are like, Sean, tell us what it is, please, right? I know. It says this, I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother, meaning he is sleeping with his father's wife. It gets worse. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I'm not with you in person, I am with you in spirit. And listen to Paul's words, please. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. He obviously didn't read Sermon on the Mount. But remember, Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I've already passed judgment on this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, just to put the thing a little bit harder, I've not only passed judgment, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? Like he started preaching at him. And then he goes on to say, then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. This seems very dark and bleak, but this is actually love. Let me explain what's happening. Because if you are shepherding a church, as a pastor, I've realized that there's sometimes in churches where all of the sheep, as God would say, the people, I'm here to protect them, to love them, give them sound teaching, and wolves try coming in after the sheep. And you can have loving conversations with them, but if they are continuing in sin, it says in the scripture that because of what this man was doing, it was like yeast in the dough. It was spreading throughout the church. People were cheering him on. People were actually excited about it. Ugh. And people were actually being like this thing. And he says, you need to take him out. Why? Because I'd rather you get one person out than 100 people out. It was an ultimatum. It was a decision to say, I love all of them, but we have got to get him out. Why? Because while he's out there, just like the prodigal son, he's going to realize that he's got nothing, and it's going to bring him back to the church, is what he's saying. Hand him over. Let Satan do his work. Let him run after all those desires to find out in the end it's not even fulfilling, and he'll run back to Jesus, and then in that moment, we'll restore him. This is all about love. This is all about grace. Paul is saying sometimes you have to let someone go and let them make their own choices. We can't make their choices for them. If we would stop making choices for people, let them make their choices, but be there when they come back to say, I need someone's love. I need someone's prayer. He says, just be ready for him when he comes back. I love that. That we would be a church where people may leave saying one thing, but they knew that our church was always there for him when they came back. No matter what you've done, no matter how many drugs you sold, no matter what happened in your situation, maybe you've been gone for a year and today's your day back, welcome back. God's grace is still for you. It's still big. He's saying, give him out. So this isn't just an excommunication. This is Paul saying we have got to take care of the other people in the church. I've already passed judgment. I'm going to explain this. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13 says this. So he continues on with this, and then he comes back in the same letter, and he says this right here. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. Keyword, sinning. Not who fell flat on their face. Not who made a mistake. Not who had a moment of weakness. But someone who's continually abusing the grace of Jesus, even though they've been saved, even though they've been forgiven, they just continue and they're not listening, they're not even trying, they're just living in it. He's saying those kind of people. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. So Paul was using this language, outsiders and insiders. And I love what he says. He says, it is not our responsibility to judge the outsiders. So let me take a moment real fast and talk about the outsiders. It is not our responsibility to judge the outsiders. One thing we try teaching our teams here, teams here at Authentic is there's times that we have different areas. So we have production team, we have worship team, we have welcome squad, we have kids directors, we have people who come in and clean the place throughout the week, we have ushers, we have different areas that are happening. And with every area that's happening, we have different directors over them taking care of them. And there's one time we actually had a problem because someone was supposed to be directing one area, but they were so focused on everybody else's area. You know those? Like the people who are like, that's not your responsibility. And so what's happened is they had so much advice, and even though their heart was in the right place, they had so much advice and good things about every other area. And so they said, they need to do this, and they missed that, and they need to do that, and this needs to happen. And finally they said, listen, that's not your responsibility. And the whole time you've been focused on their responsibilities, you've been lacking at yours. Your area is falling apart. Can I tell you why the church may be falling apart sometimes? Because we're taking responsibility of things we were never supposed to take responsibility for. We're not here to judge those outside of the church. Quit wasting your breath on people who don't live through Christ. Quit judging people who don't know who Jesus is. Billy Graham said, he said it so best. He says, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict, God's job to judge, and it's our job to love. If we would just do that, that's our responsibility. We're so focused on other responsibilities that the thing we're supposed to be responsible for is falling apart because we think we know best for everybody outside of church. Paul says, hold on. Yes, I have passed judgment, but we are not called to judge those outside of church. So after he says judgment, he noticed someone's reading this letter and it's like, whoa. Jesus said, do not judge lest you be judged. So Paul knew, I need to go further on this. I need to explain to the church what I'm saying because they're thinking, you can't judge. And so he continues to say, there's outsiders and there's insiders. Our responsibility is not to judge the outsiders. Why, Sean? Why? Because you would never go into someone else's house who has kids and judge those kids based on your rules in your house. So my daughters have different rules and standards in our house. And I would be crazy to go to someone else's house and begin to see their kids do things. Maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's not wrong. It's just that's not how our rules are at our house. Could you imagine me going to someone's party, seeing those kids acting up, and I'm just like, hold on to their parent. Let me take care of this. And I begin to tell them what they need to be doing in their house, what they need to be watching, how they need to be talking. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Do this. And their parents are going to be like, what are you doing? Yet, he says the outsiders have different house rules than we do. Don't judge the outsiders. Why? Because they don't live by the same standard. We're wasting our breath, church, when we go and say, oh, did you see what she wore? She's not in the same standard as you. Oh, did you see what she said? She's not living by the same standard as you. Did you see who she went home with? She's not in church. She's not living the same life you are. She needs love. He needs love. They need love. And when we realize that, we'll stop separating ourselves from the things that God's asked us to love. So don't pass on the outsiders. I thought about recently, I thought about when we first started church, we had a couple come who were not believers. And we invited them over with some of our believer friends. And we watched the Oscars because if you know anything about me, that is my Super Bowl. So don't try calling me that night. I will not answer. That is my thing. Come on, movies. And so I love the Oscars. I love everything about them. I love cinematography. I love screenplays. I love all that stuff. I could tell you directors. It's just something I love to do. And so that's something I like. And so we invited them over. And how many of you know that when you're hanging out with your church friends and you invite people who are not in the church, you begin to look at things a little bit different than what you normally would? Like, now you're like, okay, I want to see you from their point of view. Like, every day, every Sunday, I try thinking of what an unbeliever looks like in here. Because, honestly, I love our church, but you should be the uncomfortable ones, not the new people. And so I always think from their perspective. And as we were watching the Oscars, someone came out to give an award. And this lady had a very revealing dress on. And we're just watching it. And someone among our group of friends began to say, oh, what is she wearing? Have some respect for yourself. Oh, what did he say? Oh, that joke. And with this constant. And I begin to realize, wow, these unbelievers now get a picture of who we are in our church. Never saw them again after that day. I wonder why. Oh, it's the celebrities. They're people too. Just because they have a big platform doesn't mean we can judge them. Just because their life is, oh, I wish your life was on the spotlight. You would be scared. But what I'm trying to say is we were judging people on TV screens on a standard that they don't even live by. Why not say, man, God loves that person. Why can't we see people instead of what they're wearing and how they're talking and what situations there are? Stop looking at that. Stop looking at how Jesus sees them, that he was worth dying on the cross for, that he loved them even though they were running away from him. And if we're at it, you were running away from him too, and he still chased you. Don't judge the outsiders. He says, don't, you're wasting your time. Church, if we could grasp this, I know this is heavy, but if we could leave today before you even see it come out of your mouth and say, you know what, I'm going to choose to love them and not judge them. I know she did this in high school. I know he was this person in high school, but he doesn't live by the same standard I do. So I'm not going to judge that. And he goes on to say, but we have responsibility to judge the insiders. Oh, by the way, Mother Teresa said this, if we are judging people, we are too busy to love them. You can't judge and love at the same time. But we will pass judgment on those inside the church. So now that he flips it, what he's saying is we are the church body. And remember, they are sinning. This wasn't just someone who made a mistake, guys. This was someone who was affecting the whole body of Christ because he was sleeping with his dad's wife. And he was continually doing it, and people were cheering him on. So it was affecting what the church thought of sin, and it was affecting what the church thought of holiness. And guys, if I was honest with you, it says in Scripture that we are to be holy as God is holy, and we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without him. But I'm trying to say is he said this guy was affecting the whole church, and we need to take care of this. It's inside the church. Why? Because this is a man who said, I live by this. If we are insiders, now we have a standard. If we're a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect when we leave this place, but it means I'm going to do my best, as Paul said, forgetting what's behind me and reaching for what's ahead to live the life that God has for me. And that's when people say, oh, so it's the rules and regulations thing. Do you know why I have a fence in my backyard? So my kids can have more freedom. Let me think about that for a second. Because if they have a fence in their backyard, I don't have to worry about intruders. I don't have to worry about them getting out and running into the street. They can actually play more safe and more free that I have boundaries set up. This isn't a rule book. This is a boundary book. God created your life. He said, if you would just have faith that the things written in here are boundaries, you'll realize that you'll have more freedom in this life than the baggage you're hanging on to because the things you didn't listen to in this life. He has things for marriage. He has things for life. He has things for businesses. He says, these are boundaries to live fully. I have never heard someone say, man, I have followed the words and teachings of Jesus and I completely regret it. Not once have I ever heard that. He says, but when we say we're inside the church, we now have the standard. And so here's what I want to say, guys. I'm going to do it as Rule and as Pontiac, and I'm going to throw a little bit of Lizzie, North Carolina in there. You ready? Here we go. Judge the believing, not the heathen. Hopefully it sticks. Judge the believing, not the heathen. Now, some of you are scared because now you're like, Sean just gave free rein for people to come in here and get into my business. And some of you are too excited about that. Now we're going to go back to Jesus' teaching. So don't be scared because some of you are like, oh, yeah. Whoop, 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 whoop. Got the church police getting excited. And remember, Jesus was actually addressing the church police. So he's addressing those who are excited right now. That's right. I saw that person. He's still doing this. No one's talked to him. How do you know? You haven't been behind the closed doors. So before you get excited about saying, here we go, let's go find everyone in the church making mistakes and judge them. That's not what he's saying. This guy was willfully sinning, and there's times that you have to come in. We can't judge hearts. We can't judge that. So now let's look back. Now that I've laid that foundation, we're going to have a lot of fun because this is what Jesus said. He said this in his words. He said, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is genius. This is Jesus. He says there's going to be a moment. I'm not saying to never take the speck out of your brother's eyes. We are called to lift each other up. We are called to encourage. If we never confronted issues, we would never get to the point that God has us to do. We all fall. We all make mistakes. And so Jesus is saying, now before you go gung-ho and go church police on anybody, I want to remind you of something, because sometimes we have a plank in our own eye when you're focused on a speck. But in order for me to really convey this, I want to show you a video here in a second. This video is a man who goes to our church. His name is Graham, and he's actually a police officer. And before he become a police officer, he had to go through academy. Now, in academy, they have this idea. He said, if you want to carry a taser, which is a gun that you shoot, and the barb goes into your skin, and then in that moment when they electrocute you, you have no more, you're just done. Like, you're just like, ah, and you fall over. And they said, if you want to hold on to a taser in duty, You have to be shocked by a taser at Academy. Genius. Why? Because cops have an authority given to them that we don't have as people. And so if you've been shocked by this thing, you won't abuse your authority when you have to use it. So we want you to see what it feels like first before you go and shock someone, so you have an understanding of what it feels like before you just completely brutalize them. Who wants to see a video of Graham being shocked by a taser? Anybody else? Look at the screen. Now we have to stop the video there because, let's just say I don't want to get any emails. But now in this video, you see that right there, he just went completely to the ground, had no function or whatever. Like, Sean, how are you going to bring this into everything? Could it be that Jesus says this? He says, listen, before you're in the business being church police, I've given you authority. You have an authority to lead and to shepherd. But I want to let you know that sometimes you have to be tased first before you go and take care of someone else's business. I think what he's saying is, listen, if you begin to spend time on getting the own planks out of your own eyes, you're going to have a lot more grace and patience with people who have specks in their eyes. Oh, it's getting, here we go. I'm ready for this one. So what he's saying is, have you ever had anything stuck in your eye before? Anybody? It's the worst, especially like a speck or sawdust. Like, you're just like, oh my gosh. Like, it's literally like, God, I'm dying. I'm done. Like, you know, like, it's like, no, Sean, there's something in your eye. Well, it feels like death. You know, like, you're just like, it's in my eye. And you're like going like this. And Jesus knew that the eye was such a sensitive part of the body. He knew this so well that he used it. He was a carpenter, but he also knew the body. He probably had gotten a speck of sawdust in his eye before. And he says, it's so agitating. Sometimes it hurts so bad you can't find out what it is. You're like getting close in the mirror. You're being very gentle because it's a sensitive organ. Sometimes it takes tears to get it out. Sometimes it takes precision and patience. I don't think it's accident that Jesus talked about the eye. And he says, that speck that agitates you, that you can feel, you don't even notice this in your eye. It's so easy to point out everybody else's failures when we're distorted from this. And so what he says, listen, just like Graham got tased, I don't want you to abuse your authority. So people are like, yes, I get to judge the church. He's saying, first and foremost, before you focus on everybody else's specs, work on this thing. Because after you work on this thing, you're going to have a lot more patience and grace for those who are going through the specs in their eyes. He has this amazing way of communicating to us to take care of our own troubles. What is that phrase that says, you know, have you ever walked a mile in his shoes? See, Jesus was talking about a plank for a specific reason, but I love this. I need someone to help. You know what, Chris, come on, help me. You're the guest here, so you're going to help me real fast. I thought this was really cool because Jesus used this eye translation. I do this a lot, so you're not like the first time. So Jesus used this illustration. He says, get rid of the plank, even you have a speck in your own eye. Okay. That's it? I'm such a baby, I guess. So he says, get rid of this plank. So he says, you're so focused on that speck in their eye, right? You're like, look at her. Why is he going to the bar at midnight? And he's saying, why are you grabbing the ho-hos at midnight? Oh, quiet, my bad. Why does she keep going? Why does she keep running back to him every single time? Why does he keep running back to her every single time? Sean, why do you keep running back to worry every single time? Okay, I'm just getting quiet, so it's good. That means they're listening. But he also says this, take care of the plank in your own eye so you can see clearly the speck in your own. I'm not going to poke you in the eye, but just put your head against that.
This is a special moment.
It's a moment. He's saying, listen, in order to take care of your brother's eye, you need to be close to him. Get out of here. He's saying, the plank is getting in the way of you and your brother, but if you would actually spend time to get and know his life, maybe you would understand why he has those hang-ups. Maybe you understand why he has that stuff hanging on him. Maybe you'll stop looking at the speck and start taking care of the plank. He says it takes gentleness to take care of specks. It takes precision and patience, and it sometimes takes tears. And can I tell you something? I have more grace with people who keep running to the same things because, man, I raise my voice too much. Man, I wish my anger, I could get control over it, and I have more grace now knowing that as I work on my own plank, I have a lot more patience and grace for people who are going through the same thing in their life. Jesus is a genius. He says, of course we take time to judge those inside the church. But first, take care of the plank. Take care of the plank. Worship team, you can come on up. Take care of the plank. And so I guess my encouragement to you as we continue, I love what Proverbs 18:24 says. It says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. And we can't be close to our brothers and sisters if we're always keeping the planks in our eyes and focusing in the speck in theirs. He says, you know how to get close to those around you? Take care of yourself. Focus on yourself, right? This whole time, wife, you were, husband, you listening? Husband, you listening? We were more like this. Husband, you listening? Husband, you listening? Wife, my wife needs to hear this. I mean, like, after every message is preached, someone comes to me, oh, there's someone in this place who really needed to hear that message today. That's how I see you. Because you are so focused on specks in other people's eyes that you forgot about the plank in your own. Guys, nothing has made me a better father, husband, and pastor than when I begin to realize the planks I need to take care of. Because when I realize the patience it takes, the prayer it takes, the tears it takes, the hardship it takes, I have a whole lot more grace for people who are stuck in their situations too. Doesn't mean we stay in it, but you better believe it makes me closer to people cheering them on. That when they fall over, I realize, man, I've fallen over before too. I'm grateful someone picked me up when I fell over. I'm gonna pick them up too. But we can't be close if we have the planks in our own eyes. So let's start with ourselves. We always want to go first in everything else besides taking care of the planks. He says, you go first. What are some things in your life that you got to take care of because it's distorting your view? Yeah, we don't judge those outside the church. Guys, when we leave today, if they're not believers, we don't judge them. And we don't walk around going, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? No, 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 that's not what I'm saying either. But I am saying there's going to be a moment where you can encourage your brother. But just make sure, before you're getting frustrated with their sin, that you take care of yours. And we will be a better church and a better community because of it. Because as you begin to get tased, you have more patience with those you have to tase. Jesus was genius when he said this. John 3:16 through 18 says this. He says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We've heard that a lot. But check this out. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one only son. So God sends Jesus for who? The outsiders. Who is the outsiders? You and I. We sinned. We all made mistakes. And Jesus said, I have to clean this situation up. But he knew he couldn't do it through judging us. He had to save us and love us. Because we weren't living by his standard at that moment. So Jesus is a perfect representation of how we're supposed to treat those outside the church. He gave up his life for them so that we could become known. And it goes on to say this, there's no judgment against anyone who believes, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. So this is a moment I want to be very sensitive with. If you aren't a believer and you've used the phrase, only God can judge me, you're absolutely right. And you may want to think about that a little deeper. Because honestly, I'd rather have someone else judge me than God if I'm not living the way I should be living. Only God can judge you, but he wants to save you first. So through Christ, on that judgment day, he sees his son Jesus and not everything that you had in your life. You see, Jesus took your plank and he took my plank and he died on it. And he gave us the Holy Spirit so we could focus on ourselves. We could love the outsiders, and we could grow as insiders. But until you make a step to follow this, you're still separated from God. And only God can judge you, but would you join and say, you know what, today's my day to say Jesus died for me. I'm in sin and shame. I need the cross. I need my planks taken. I need to get rid of them today. Jesus died for the outsiders. He took our planks. So when we want to take other people's planks, we can remind ourselves, man, while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. I don't know if this is your first time, 100th time, or whatever, and we always do something at the end of every experience. We give people an opportunity to respond to Jesus. It says in his word that those who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning that in our sin and shame, We made the mistake. We are now separated from God, but Jesus came pure and faultless, and he died the death we should have died so that we could live the life that we don't deserve to live. And he did that on the cross. So if you're saying only God can judge me, you are right. But it says in this scripture, it says that though there's no judgment in verse 18 against anyone who believes in him, today's your moment to believe in Christ. Not so you can jump in and be like, does that mean that as soon as I come into Christ, everyone's gonna start judging me? No. That's what I was very clear on. Even though Paul says we judge the inside, Jesus says, but first take care of your own mess. And if I was honest with you, the longer we take care of our own mess, there's gonna be a whole lot more judging because we all have our own mistakes. But if you're here today, say, Sean, I've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I don't know where I am right now. I'm separated from him. I wanna follow him today. I'm gonna count to three. We're gonna leave our eyes open because this is a time where we celebrate our church. We've had people every week respond to Christ. But today's your moment to go from old to new. It says that you're a new creation in Christ. But you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything crazy. I just want you to respond and say, Sean, today I wanna make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. I see what he did for me. He took my planks. He died on the cross and he rose again. I need the Holy Spirit's help in my life. I'm gonna count to three. If you wanted to receive Christ today, I just want you to shoot up your hand and our church is gonna celebrate you today. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he took your planks and died upon the cross. Three, if you want to receive him today, could you lift up your hand and say, Sean, this is my time. I want to do it. Anybody else? Say, I can see any hands if you want to turn the lights up. Anyone else? Say, we're going to do this every week. It doesn't matter if people respond or don't. I'm not going to miss someone's opportunity to receive Christ because this is eternity we're talking about, not this moment. Anybody else? Before I pray, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. We pray right now, Father God, Lord, that you are who you say you are. Lord, we're grateful that you took our sins, you took our shame. I pray that we would stop judging everybody else and that we would look at our own situation. Lord, I pray right now, Father God, as people will begin to work with that question in their heart, do I know Christ? Am I known by Christ? I pray, Father God, today they would make a decision to follow Jesus, Lord. I thank you for everything you're doing in this place, and I just pray, Father, that we would be a church who doesn't just judge the outside, or we don't judge the outside, but Lord, that we don't just judge the inside, but we do it with love and we do it with grace, that we're here to lift each other up with patience and joy and peace. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would stop and that we would drop our stones, that we would stop throwing stones at those who don't know Christ, but that we would love them unconditionally, that no matter what they believe, no matter what they say, no matter how they speak, that we would run after them as you have run towards us, Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father God. And we give you praise today, Father God, because you are holy, you are worthy, and you are good. And if you believe that today, can we give him a hand? Let's stand up on our feet and declare today, church, he took our planks, he took our cross. Let's give him praise today. Let's not miss this moment and thank him for everything he's done. Come on, church.